You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Mai in Bahrain, in the Middle East. Really excited about that. So Mai, thank you so much for the email. And to those of you in the Middle East, many of you have emailed me, and that is always so encouraging to me to know that on the other side of the world, in a very different culture, CCPT has a presence. So to all of my listeners in the Middle East, I'm so glad that you're a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. And Mai, thank you so much for listening in Bahrain and for taking CCPT to your culture and your country. All right, so Mai's a little bit of an overachiever and submitted three questions. So I'm going to tackle each one of these. However, before I dive into that, I just want to remind you, this Friday, January 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern, we are having the live podcast event. So please look in the show notes for the link to register. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about impact. And if you attend, I'm going to give you the link so that you can watch a 2.5-hour workshop that I gave in Australia on the mindset of a CCPT. So that's going to be really valuable, really helpful. That is not publicly available. So as a thank you for being on the live event, I want to make sure that you go home with some extra value. Okay, so let's dive into Mai's questions and we'll just do them one at a time. I think that'll be easier. My name is Mai. I'm currently a mental health counselor in training based in Bahrain in the Middle East. I've been an avid listener of your podcast for the past few months and I really appreciate the insights you share. I have a few questions. Number one, non-directive therapy and interventions. In non-directive play therapy, do you avoid making interventions throughout the process? In my practice, we often incorporate a brief 5 or 10 minute intervention to support children in developing specific skills, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on integrating this approach within a non-directive framework. Okay, so I think the most simple answer that I can give is that if we do anything other than CCPT, we're deviating from the model. So we will never do any kind of intervention. We will never bring anything up. We never do any kind of activities or any directive approach whatsoever because that is no longer adherent to the child-centered model. Every single week when the child comes, the most important thing that we say is, "Hi, so-and-so. I'm so happy to get to play with you today. You can play with all the toys in most of the ways that you want." And that's where we stop, the child takes over, and the child is fully in charge. And in yesterday's episode, when I talked about adherence, I gave all kinds of rationale for why we do not deviate. And so Mai, that might be helpful for you to listen to that episode as well in conjunction with this. Here's what we can do though. So if we really feel like there needs to be some kind of intervention or something that supports us in our work or supports the child, we do that as part of our parent consultation process. So we would not bring anything up to the child. We would not take time from the session. I know a lot of therapists, because of the policies at their practices or just kind of the systems that are put in place when they work for someone else, they say, "Well, we typically do 5 to 10 minutes with the parent," or, "I spend 5 or 10 minutes getting an update from the parent, and then I play with the child for 40 to 45, or we do, you know, an activity at the beginning or at the end of every session. We're no longer adherent to CCPT if we're doing those things. However, sometimes we might say, "You know what? I really think this child needs to have more choices. I really think this child needs to really understand the returning of responsibility. I think this child needs to have his or her feelings validated more frequently." If that's the case, that will support the child's therapeutic growth. So we do that in the parent consultation. We psychoeducate parents about what to be doing at home and how they can be supporting what we're doing in the playroom. But the intervention or the directive is always at the parent rather than at the child. So I hope that's helpful. Okay, let's go on to question number two. When a child tries to take control in the session by saying things like, "Open this," or "Get me that," how do you typically navigate these situations? I understand that the child-centered model encourages us not to do for the child that which they can do for themselves. So I'd love to hear your approach to managing power struggles like these. Okay. My life seems to just go in repeatable cycles. And I've been asked this question so much lately. So I know that this is something that a lot of therapists are wrestling with. So I'm really happy to be talking about this. I've been talking about it on coaching calls and in the collective and in the forums and now the podcast as well. So definitely a very relevant question. The most important thing we can do in a scenario like this is tease apart why the child is demanding that we do something for them. The why matters, right? Here's what we need to be thinking about. There are three potential reasons for the child's request. The first is it's a true power and control grab. They're ordering you around. They're bossing you around. They want that dictatorial feeling of being in charge. So it's get me that, or open this, or do this for me. If you get a sense that it is truly rooted in power and control, we respond appropriately by acknowledging that the child wants the power and the control and that they want us to do something for them. And then we do it. Because remember, we are the actor in the child's play. So if a director is telling you, go stand there and say that line and make sure that you do it with this kind of look on your face, as an actor, you would comply with the director's wishes. We are the actor in the child's play. If they say, go get me that, and it's because of a power and control need, then we say, you're ordering me to go get that for you. You want me to do it right now. And then we go get it. Because if it is a power and control need driving it, we comply with the power and control grab. Option number two is the child is feeling inadequate, incompetent, they're lacking confidence. It's a learned helplessness kind of scenario. This can happen sometimes before a child will even try to do something. So they don't even make an attempt and they're just like, can you get that for me? Or sometimes they try and fail. Then they go, I can't do it. You do it. Or sometimes it's just you can tell that they are so used to people doing things for them. They have no intrinsic motivation. They have no desire to try anything. And so they just want to pass the buck. In that case, we default to never do for a child that which they can do for themselves. We return responsibility in that scenario. Oh, you really want me to do that for you, but you can figure it out even though it's tricky. You just haven't gotten it yet. All right, so see now if it's a learned helplessness or a lack of confidence, adequacy, something like that, we return responsibility because we know the child is in fact capable and the child needs to learn to have an internal locus of control. Now, third option is collaborative play. So you're tossing a ball back and forth and the ball goes under your chair. Or the child has both hands full and needs you to grab the scissors because they have a paper in one hand and the markers in the other. And they say, hey, will you grab those scissors? All right. And a lot of therapists get hung up in this scenario because they try to be really rigid with the tenets. So it's like never do for a child that which they can do for themselves. They can get those scissors. I'm not going to get the scissors for them. Well, the why matters. Because if a child is both hands full and you're in the room, it's a very natural collaborative request to say, hey, will you grab that for me? Or, hey, you get that and I'll get this. Or hold this for me while I, or the ball's under your chair, will you grab it? So in those scenarios, we recognize it as this is just a natural byproduct of the back and forth in a room between two people. When two people play together, there's a collaborative nature. There's a cooperative nature. So sometimes a kid asks you to do something and it's just because you're right there. It's easier for you. My hands are full. Hey, it's right there. You grab it for me. And so in that scenario, we just do it. And in my opinion, I don't even feel like I really need to say much in that scenario. I mean, I might reflect content. So I might say, oh, your hands are full. You need me to grab the scissors. But there's really not much more to that other than it just makes more sense that they would ask you to do it for them. So those are the three scenarios that I find most constantly in the playroom regarding a child asking you to do something for them. So I hope that that's helpful for you to kind of have a sense of what you might do based on the why. Okay. And then third question, I recently episode Sorry, I recently listened to your episode on becoming a child play therapist, but it was focused primarily on U.S. licensure. Could you share any insights on the international equivalent of play therapy certification and how someone based outside the U.S. might pursue it without holding U.S. licensure? Okay, so this is a little bit more complicated because each country has their own regulations. Each country has their own path to doing play therapy, providing play therapy. And so I would default to, I'm not familiar with Bahrain enough to really give you specific insights about your country or your region. However, this is what I might share with you. My coaching programs specifically are internationally available. So I have many international participants, and you can become a certified through my program, child-centered play therapist, and it does not require licensure. It does not require any kind of credentials other than you're able legally and ethically to provide play therapy in your country, and then you would be certified through our program. So I think that might be an easy route for you. I really can't speak to your path or what that would look like for you other than you would need to figure out what the different options are. Let me be clear on this though. Many therapists worldwide hesitate to say that they are a play therapist because they feel like they shouldn't use that name, or they can't use that name until they get some training or certification or whatever. You are a play therapist if you provide play therapy. It's just that simple. It's not proprietary. It's not regulated. And for better or worse, you can say that you're a play therapist just because you do play therapy. And unfortunately, sometimes that means that someone takes a 2-hour training and then all of a sudden says they're a play therapist. That's not what I'm saying at all. Master your craft, go all in, get the highest level of training, and be at the upper tier and upper echelon of your field. That's what I want for this field. I want CCPT to take over the world because every single person that practices it is so trained and so knowledgeable and so confident and so effective. So I do not advocate for someone just saying, oh, I'm a play therapist because I did a 2-hour online course. But if you are able to be effective, if you know what you're doing, if you have the skills and the education, whatever path that is for you. In other countries, some countries do not require a mental health background to do play therapy. So whatever your path is, be proficient and be effective, but you can call yourself a play therapist if you provide play therapy. And then obviously child-centered play therapy is a very specific theoretical model, and you're listening to the podcast, so I assume that you're very all in on CCPT. So you can say that you are a child-centered play therapist, as long as you are legally and ethically able to do that in Bahrain without any kind of license or educational path. So that's really all I have in the way of insight there. If the rest of you in that region, if any of the rest of you are in Bahrain or in that region and you can email me and provide me with insight, I will give an update in a future episode. If you have maybe some answers for my, or you have some insight that I don't, I would love to pass that along. So please email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com, if you can share any insight. All right, y'all. I love you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.